Bless you all. Welcome to another Zoom, my Zoom fellowship in Oregon. Today is Wednesday, what is today? April 8th.
Yes.
2026. Can you imagine? April, May, almost one third we've reached the year. But, you know, our theme this year is living unto God. Beautiful things are happening. And, you know, as believers, we've lived with God for many years. But when you really magnify that and say, wow, living unto God, well, what is that? And I think of the more than abundant life, exceedingly and abundantly, right? Above all that we ask or think. But I'm going to pray, open us up with a prayer, and we'll go from there, okay? Well, good afternoon, good evening. Heavenly Father, thank you for this Zoom, and thank you, God, that we can meet such as this Zoom, and what a platform to have. And Father, you know, there's so many ways to get connected with you, but this is as close as we're going to get for now without, you know, the physical aspect part. But, you know, we're here, we can see each other's faces, beautiful faces, God. Bless my Zoom. I know people may still want to log on or is going to log on. And I thank you, God, for your many, many blessings in our lives and how you each and every day, we can look to you with knowledge and understanding, but more importantly, God, that we can practice what it says in your word and your word comes alive. What an amazing walk that we have. It is the most perfect and excellent way. And Father, thank you for the days, the weeks, the months, and the year ahead. And thank you, God. Also, I thank you for our Airbnb fellowship, Myrtle Beach. It's coming up, Father, and thank you. Ooh, how you provide, God, that we can get there. And what a beautiful fellowship. So I thank you for our Airbnb fellowship, Myrtle Beach. It's coming up, Father, and thank you. Ooh, how you provide, God, that we can get there. And what a beautiful fellowship we're going to have. And thank you. Hi, Glenna. And thank you also, God, for each and every one of our sharings. You know, God, this is really hard to express. What a fruitful life we have because you are in it, okay? And as we allow you, and that's the beautiful walk that we have, and I am so very thankful. So I thank you, God, for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, let's see. I think before anything, I'd like to do manifestations, if you guys don't mind. I'm sure you don't. So, you know, whoever is inspired, you can speak in tongues and interpret and or prophesy. So just unmute yourself.
Know this day, my children, that I am your heavenly Father, and I am with you, and I hold you by the right hand. I see everything. I protect you on every side. You have nothing to fear. Do not worry. You are not alone, and you are not unprovided for. I am a God of abundance, and I've seen, and I, in order to provide for you on every level of your life, on every detail, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, I've provided, my children. So you come to me, and you tell me what you want. Give me your requests. Open your hearts to me. Know that I care for you, and I want you to come to me, knowing that I am with you always. Even when you feel alone, you are not. I am there, even closer than you know. So be still and know that I am God.
Wow, beautiful. Prakara shanto gokwala mananintiliri ira shantalo. Mokontoloriyo toko shantoloriyo gokwalariya. Yes, be still and know that I'm your God. Your God that loves you and cares you. I want to take care of you in all the days of your lives. Your job is just to look to me. It's simple, nothing complicated. But when you look to me with boldness and confidence, And I will, whatever needs that you have, I request it, I'll make it come to pass. For I'm a God who's able, I'm a God who's willing, and I'm a God who is faithful. Anybody else?
It says it all.
This is it all. You want to manifest, Lena?
Know that I am here with thee and shall always be as I have promised. Look not to your left or to your right, or nor do you look down. You always look up unto me. Stay in prayer, no matter what it is, big or small, for I am there. Even if you don't see me or you think I am not, I am there. You must believe my promises, because I am a faithful God and a loving God. I do nothing to harm you or take away from you. Continue with your prayers unto me, for I know your hearts. I know where you are headed before you do. So continue with your prayers, and I shall bring you to pass.
Well, what beautiful manifestations. God, I really needed to hear that. I think I told you guys, you know, I'm going a little bit of some challenges. I think, Glenna, you didn't know, but my brother, Edgar, my oldest brother, just had a stroke, massive, and he's in a coma.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, I mean, we've been ministering. Lord did, I did. And then the hardest part, too, is I had to tell my mommy.
Oh, yes.
So we FaceTime, and she's talking to her son. Edgar, wake up. Okay, so I told her, Mom, minister, you know how. Oh, you know, she's crying. And also, bless her heart, God, just keep her at peace, too, because, you know, I lost my other brother a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the hardest thing when it should be the other way around, you know. But Mom is strong. I know I hear her speaking in tongues. She's crying, but then in between that, she's speaking in tongues. And then she keeps ministering to Edgar, saying, Edgar, get up. Come on, son. Get up. Like that. So bless her heart. You know, she still has her marbles a little bit. Sometimes it's not always there. And, you know, Mom and I, we've been having challenges. She has. She's been very combative because of the dementia. But anyway, it calmed her down. I said, Mom, stop being so combative. You're always fighting with me. So what I need you to do. And then I told her about Edgar. And, oh, my God. She says, okay, Mom, you're a believer. Speak in tongues much. And you can raise your son from this, okay? Oh, okay. Mm. So she's calmed down a bit. Bless her heart, you know. I'm really thankful because she's as old as she is at 94, she can still grasp it, not all of it, but you know, she's sharp. I mean, imagine, she gets very defensive. Don't you know? I speak in tongues 24/7. Okay, Mom, that's fine. Yeah, you can get all the credit for your benefit anyway. And then she'd start going into it. Oh, okay, Mom, I got it. You don't have to, like, you know, like it's a sort of a verification, validate. Yeah. But bless your heart. So I ask you guys for some more prayers. And there's no update with Edgar, except he's still in a coma. They're doing all kinds of MRI and CT scan. And, you know, like I told Jim, and he said, well, that's the doctor's report that he's brain dead. God's report is bigger. Thank you, Jim. That really encouraged me because that's what we're believing for, you know? Mm-hmm. Of course, always. I mean, it says in his word, it's available. Raise them from the dead. Heal the sick. Forget the devil, you know? You don't let him win. I mean, God is bigger than all of it. So,
amen.
Right? Amen, you guys. Yeah. No matter how negative it looks, how dim, oh my goodness. It is just so amazing as you allow and permit the Holy Spirit to just take over. God, I give it to you. You know, we just have high expectations. Your faith and your confession is there. So, yeah, I'm so thankful. I know God the way I do. You know, the rest of my family are who's dwelling on the doctor's report and da da da. You know, all said and done, I'm there to shed that light too. I said, stop it, you guys. Keep praying, you know, and we'll believe for Edgar, with Edgar. And that's it. So anyways, it's not my full sharing, but it's part my sharing. So you guys, whoever's inspired, go for it. What has God been knocking your socks off? We want to hear.
Well, you know what, Ethel? God may not be early, but he's never late. And that's where the patience comes in.
Yes.
Especially when there are challenges in life. And I, too, have been going through challenges. And it's interesting that they say things come in threes. Sometimes I tend to believe that because it's happened in my own life and is happening now. And I know that my patience is very important, along with my prayers. Even at times, if I get discouraged and think that, well, it's not happening, it's been so long, God, that, you know, what is going on? And when I talk with God, I talk very candid, and I just say it how it is. I don't have a prayer, or I just talk to him turkey. And I know it's patience, believing, because many times in life, we think that God isn't there because we don't see it immediately. That's not true. And I've learned that through the years, that is not true. God is always there. And in prayer, I do believe that we need to, when we pray, we focus and have within ourselves and feel that Holy Spirit within us welling up. And you can feel God, and you can feel that Holy Spirit within working. And it does take practice, but it's getting in a quiet place, focus, determined, knowing God's will, and knowing who you are, and we are sons of God with all power. And the challenges can really rattle us at times. They have in my own life. And right now I have three challenges going on all at the same time. And before that, it was like nothing was happening in my life. I was just nothing. I was just here living life to the best that I could do with my situation. And then all of a sudden, it's like, bam, bam, bam. It just hit me like somebody cold cocked me. But I know that I can deal with it and get past the feeling of what is going on now? Why everything at one time? What is going on, God? But I know that God's working. He has to. I demand it. I expect it. It has to. Because of his promises and who I am. I did not call myself to be a son of God or to be a minister or a healer. God did that. Now it is up to me to fulfill what he has given me. And if it takes time, then it takes time. Because it's God's timing, it's not ours. It's his timing. He knows best. And I remind myself that every day. This is God's timing, not mine. And so each and every day, it's like, all right, God, what's going on? What do you want me to do? What can I do? And he just tells me, stay in prayer. I'm on top of this girl. And I know that he is. And I love the way God talks to us. He talks to us the way we are. It's not thee and thou a lot of times. It's just he knows us. He knows our personalities. He knows our feelings. He knows what we're going through. He knows us as individuals. And it's so wonderful that we are all so different in walking with God. Because if we were all alike, that would be pretty boring. I'm pretty rough around the edges myself. And I easily admit that because I want to be honest with myself. And I do have to wash my mouth. And certain things I don't say at times. But that could be in a positive way. But I do speak my mind. I speak the truth. And when I talk to somebody, and I like what I'm talking right now, I'll tell them, it's God's timing. So don't give up. Don't stop. Press forward and believe in who you are in God. And once we do that, we totally believe who we are and the capabilities that we have, like your prayers for your brother. Sure, that's available. It's only a coma. What is a coma to God? What is selling my property to God? If it's my will, it will be done. And when I'm in accordance to God's will. And God's will is he wants me to be happy. He wants me to be blessed. Your family needs to be blessed. And whatever the outcome, it will be for the best. Because God knows best. He's way ahead of us. And I remind myself that also. That I don't know what's going to happen from day to day. That's why it's so wonderful when we realize that this is the day that we have to live. This is the only day that we have. And God has given us this day. So we look forward to living that day, whatever may come. But we stay in prayer and know that God is all-powerful. So when things hit our life, it should be no surprise. He's already told us in his word that we will have conflicts. We will have turmoil because we live in this world. We live among humans. We're human. We're spiritual beings in a human body walking around. And why is that? Because that's how we move the Holy Spirit. We have the arms, the legs, the mouth to do so. So we continue in that path no matter what happens in life. What the adversary tries to throw at us. And this is what this is. It's the adversary. In my life, too, right now, it's the adversary saying, oh, that's not going to sell. Oh, they're never going to buy that. You're not going to get to Oregon. And I have to stop that and go, no, just get out of my life. Just get out. I'm not going to believe you because I know that it may look bad. It may look impossible. But God knows the heart and what the heart needs because he is a loving and giving father. So like I say when I started, God may not be early, but he's never late. That door can open at the last minute when you think all hope is gone. But it's not. That's why we don't give up. That's why we continue day, every minute. It's not day by day, I believe. I believe it's minute by minute that we walk with God. Right now is this minute. And when this minute is over, I'll have another minute, but I won't get that other minute back. So I need to stay with God, stay in prayer. Stay believing, even when it looks like there's nothing to believe for. We still have to believe. So I pray for you and your family there, Ethel. I pray for myself and everybody on this call that we know who we are. We give it to God and we let God do his job. We can't do his job. I don't want God's job. I really don't. I'm just a little child. And it's wonderful that he calls us, you know, come to me as your Abba, my daddy. Mm-hmm. And my earthly father, that's what I would do. I go, daddy, help me. And I think how wonderful my earthly father was, how much more my heavenly father has done for me in the past. I've been healed by many, many things. I've already been dead 3 times, clinically dead. And I'm still here. Not supposed to walk. Not supposed to use my hand. My back was broke. You'll be in a wheelchair. And the only thing I ever said to any of that, when these doctors would say things, I'd say, nope, that's not going to happen. God wants me to use my hand. Nope, I got things to do, people to see, and places to go. I don't have time for this. And that's the bottom line. I don't have time for the things of this world. I need to concentrate and stay straight with God. And if I get off the path, God will let me know. And he does. He'll say, hey, girl, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Where do you think you're going? And I go, oh, okay. All right, Dad, I hear you. And just talk turkey with God each and every day. And speaking in tongues, absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I don't know. Now that I know what speaking in tongues does, how it helps my life and other people's, I can wake up in the middle of the night and start speaking in tongues. And that's for somebody else. Somebody needs something. Somebody needs that prayer. So for me, that's my lifestyle, is speaking in tongues. And it has to be our lifestyle because that's what we're made to do. And once we realize that and do it, the life changes. There's so much more. I don't have words for everything in my life that goes on or what to pray for. Sometimes it's like I go to God and I say, God, I pray for the same thing over and over again. It sounds religious. It sounds repetition. I go, no, hey, I speak in tongues. That's better. I don't waste my words or him hauling around. I just speak in tongues and know that God hears that. And it's my spirit to my heavenly father who created it to begin with. And what a wonderful way to to react and go to God, knowing that, I can speak to Him in a spiritual way. That not every time do I have to, use my words. It's phenomenal. It's spiritual. It's heaven sent. And I have led people in speaking in tongues, and as all of you have, and just I think I get more joy out of it than they do. They do, they light up, and I light up inside. It's like, oh my gosh, yes. Oh, you know, your life is going to change. It's going to be so much better. You just, you know. So anyway, I just don't want to keep spouting off, but I do know these things are important if we're going to, if we, choose to walk with God. And it is a choice, just like Jesus had a choice. He could have said, no, it's too much. This is too painful. People aren't listening to me. I don't want to do this anymore. He could have very easily said that. But he knew it was the right thing. He knew what was going to happen. He knew it was going to be better. He knew what his job was. And we know what, our mission is. We know who we are and how to go about it. And if we don't, then we ask God, change my path. Do something in my path. I don't understand this, but you do. So I'm not going to fret or worry or be concerned. I just give it to you. I throw it in your lap. It's your job. So continue just to speak in tongues, to pray, and totally believe who we are each and every minute of the day. And that's what I want to share.
Oh, that's beautiful, Glenna. I thank you for all those sweet reminders and also encouragement. I mean, that's why we have Zoom. We're here to encourage each other. And we might think, we think along those lines too, but we present it differently. Like you said, Glenna, you know, we're all different. God made us all different, but we all have something to bring to the table. Good things, right? So anyway, Jim, why don't you go next? I think you have to go somewhere soon, but why don't you go ahead, Jim?
Yeah, I guess I'll just, I would comment on the whole daddy relationship. I use that word a lot. Daddy, I need this, or daddy, I'm struggling here, or whatever, what's going on, or all that kind of stuff. I kind of like that more of an intimate fellowship, if you will. So I did my Bible study today, and I kind of whittled this prayer together. And I'll just read it here. Thank you, Father, for the study this morning, the great reminder of your plans to bring salvation to the Gentiles. May many more see your plan of immense grace offered to all that believe in your life, death, and resurrection. And furthermore, create a whirlwind for the redeemed church to provoke the jealousy of the Jewish peoples of the world for all the people to be used of the Holy Spirit. I think I need to look at that a little closer. I haven't proofread this yet. Romans 11:11 says, then have they stumbled that they should fall? For God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Father, may the simplicity of the focus on the Gentiles stir the spiritual hunger in your people to really evaluate their unbelief and see you as their Messiah, all to your glory. Visions 3:10. To the intent now and unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Father, make it so as the latter days of the church age come to a close. Hallelujah. So, that was kind of my recap synopsis prayer for wrapping up my Bible study today. Anyhow, let's see what else is going on.
Hey, Jim, why don't you talk about how you just went for it with speaking in tongues? Remember we talked about that yesterday or the day before? I'm excited for you.
Well, I've been doing it since probably the early 2000s.
No?
And I don't have the exact same beliefs as this group does, so it's kind of interesting. And
why is that? Why do you think?
Well, it's primarily for the layout of the scripture and how God is using the church today and what's called the body of Christ and that kind of stuff. And
but he's speaking tongues. It's a perfect prayer, and that's your perfect communication with your Heavenly Father. I think it's very personal. And yeah, I heard you. Remember, we talked. I called you and I said, I want to hear you speak in tongues. Man, you just went for it. You were very fluent. Like we all are here. Like I told you with Lawrence and I, every day I set my timer. Yo, mate, I did 1 hour and 20 minutes. It just keeps going, and it gets easier if you do it every day too, And it's nothing to premeditate, because it's those heavenly words, yeah? So, thank you, though, for letting me know that you're encouraged to do it, and you should. It's one of our fundamentals, the staying connected, which you are so good. I'm so thankful I met you at Costco, my call center, or what we call when Paul was witnessing in the place of Agora, the marketplace. That's my marketplace. Right in Costco, and actually that night I was going home already or something. But we met at the line where you buy your food, and then one thing led to another because you asked me how are you. I said I'm blessed beyond measure, and you look at me like you're a Christian. Yeah, and we just hit it off. So I'm very thankful for that, because we pray about it. All of us do here. And what it is, Father, give me that serious laborer just like me. And boop, here you came, I didn't know. You didn't know you were going to go to Costco that night, but your steering wheel was going there. That was the reason.
I knew I wanted to go, but I kind of got in the habit of driving home. So I made a wrong turn, but I soon made a about turn, which was all the timing of, so we could be kind of right there at the kiosk at Costco.
Yeah. Well, that was
Holy Spirit. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's what you call Holy Spirit led. Holy Spirit led.
Yeah, pretty much. I could have not turned around. I could have gone driving on home, but I really wanted to go to Costco. So
yeah, well, Jim, I encourage you to keep speaking in tongues. Okay, you can never go wrong with that. It's the perfect prayer. And when I heard you, my heart just, leaped. I said, "Oh my God, he just speaks in tongues so beautifully." And like I said, those are one of our fundamentals with walking with God, staying connected, speaking in tongues, and pray for laborers and honoring your first fruits. It's really, really important to do that, because everything we own, this all comes from God. I don't own any of this. You gave it all to me, God. So yeah. You know what? I'll give it back. Give it back in a way in honoring my first fruit. And, sometimes if you don't understand that concept, oh, my God, there she is again talking about money. So it says in the Word, it's the, okay, we, money is good. But when you say the love of money, that's what ruins it. If you make money your God, you're done. There's nothing else there. It might just give you temporary high or happiness, but it's not everlasting. Not like God. It's important. We need money. But you know what? Here it is. Put it to better use. Put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. That just came out, Rhema words. But you know what I mean, you guys. And I had my one-on-one with Lawrence a few days ago. But anyway, I told him I was going through some financial predicament hiccup. Boy, he told me something that I never realized. He goes, Ethel, I know. You can say, I'll just wait until I get more money. But that's not the point, though. The point is, it's more you want to give than that's when you believe God that he will multiply. Because, you know, I'm learning, I'm seeing that once you kind of stop, you feel stagnant, like, I should be, you know, and it's just so important to me. Once you've tasted that goodness of God, where, you know, you abundantly share, you honor your first fruit, it's continuous, man. Whether financial or even your health, your relationship, you're blessed in every aspect of your life, every direction. And I see that, you know, and it gets, oh my God, it gets better every day. Yeah, I would say the fellowship with God gets sweeter and sweeter as you fellowship with him every day. Like what Glenna said about, you know, it's minute by minute. That's what she calls it too. I call it now moment by moment. It used to be day by day. But, you know, it's how many minutes in a day, right? That's a lot. And then me, moment by moment. Okay, God, it's right here, this moment. Let's work together, you know? And it's such a beautiful thing. And when you allow and you permit God to work with you, it's just the way to go. And you'll know that you know. But sometimes the Holy Spirit that we have, it gets deactivated on a given day or a given moment. So keep activating. It's like your cell phone, right? You need to recharge because you run out of juice. So recharge it. And then you're as good as new again. Part of that, forget the old man. Old man, you're done, okay? You renew. You're a new man. And that's what's the good part about renewed and recharging, right? When you get recharged, man, what a way to go. Like you get recharged when you go to sleep, right? The next day you're energized and you're ready to go for the day. You know, so recharging is good. Recharging with God and renewing with God. And it's always the best thing. No matter what challenges. I mean, you know, when I heard the news about my brother, I cried a little bit. But then again, wait. You know, I know I'm the strongest one here spiritually in my family. And need to show, be that witness too, you know, as I tell them, I explain to them the godly aspect of things, I get energized, I get encouraged, and I go, wow, I said that, hopefully it'll stick with my family. But you know, everybody's walk is different and all of that, and that's the best encouragement you can give. Though I mean, when you guys told me, oh, and Glenna said, it's only a coma. It is only a coma. But in the world series, like, oh my God, he's really half dead. Practically, his brain. That's fine. But God is not done yet. You know? Just like, excuse me. Just like, you know, faith and confession, what happened to Kim? Right? I mean, I never forgot when Lauren said, you know what? He went to the hospital, I guess pulled all the IVs up, and the word says, you are of life, not of death. Years later, what, 30-something years that happened ago, she celebrated her 60th birthday. And she's here to talk about it. That's huge, man. I would be too. Preaching up and down, man. It's like, look what God has done to me. I'm alive. I'm not dead. So, yeah, the faith and confession is really, really huge. And the thing that I'm learning is I'm at peace, okay? I'm at peace with the whole thing and not go into pieces. Get it? I'm so much at peace. I'm loving it because that's one of the fruit of the Spirit, where it could be the most challenging thing. I mean, people in this world, they pay for peace. They'll go to some kind of psychotherapist, which you pay for them, but they don't. It may help for a bit, but, you know, it's not all the way kind of a thing. It's just temporary. But with God, it's permanent. permanent peace. I mean, for him to say in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. Really? I know, Father, you're talking to me, because when you say still, you know, be at peace, be joyful in the midst of that. I'll take care. I've been taking care of you. I've got your back, my child. You know, that's why he says those things. Be still. And you know what? When he says something, pay attention, because those are instructions. He's telling you. Okay, and that's our Father. And you know what? Yeah, man, he's our daddy, but yet he's so humble. He's so easy to be entreated. He loves us so much. And his love is so unconditional, right? Not like this world. This world sucks, man. It's tit for tat. Like, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Really? You're so conditional. So, I mean, that's the difference. And with God, man, he just pray. Like Glenna says, pray, speak in tongues much, you make a request. And stay peaceful. And wait. Be patient, because you know why? It is God's timing. In everything, it's God's timing. We may say, oh, God, I want it now. No, 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 no. That's part of your growth. You know, growing with God, I mean, sometimes it's not simple. It could be growing pains. But you know what? That's part of it all. And with those pain and trials and tribulations that go through, how are you going to have testimony? Okay, it's a test. You moan about it. But at the same token, you know, just wait. Because God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. And have high expectations that whatever you request, it will come to pass. It's just a matter of time. It's God's timing. And God's timing is perfect. Okay? At the right place and at the right time. That's why I think the more you go to God, you're patient, you're at peace and joyful in the midst of all of it. You know, it's just like nothing's bothering me. Because I know that God is already taking care of it. Like Lawrence goes to India and Nepal many times. But, you know, he said one day in one of the sharings, the people in India and Nepal, what they do when they pray, they've already confess that it's done. It's just verbalizing it now. Okay, Daddy, I'm just telling you. Okay? But then they already know it's come to pass. The prayer has been answered. Isn't that amazing how God works, you know? And with them, when they're praying, you know, like say in a fellowship, boy, when they have fellowship too, it's in a hall where there's like not hundreds, but thousands of people. So you can hear everything, all the testimonies. To me, I think like for us here, you know, we congregate, it just helps build up, encourage and inspire. So it's very important that you stay nourished where you're being fed. So you come to fellowships like that. Oh, I can't wait. Now that I have my own Zoom, so I'm just like so excited. And I go, me, God, little old me. I'm a minister and also a leader. And sometimes I think, you know, being a leader, ask Lord, your life is in a fishbowl, very transparent, right? And they look at you and you make one move and you make a mistake. You'll be judged, okay, believer or non-believer. I don't care. You know, I'm a human also. I make mistakes. But you know what? God always covers. Even though there's a mistake, sometimes it's not being seen. It's only you that sees it. But God covers for you. I'm like, oh, thanks, Dad. You covered for me again. And the mistake is not a mistake, you know. It just, the way God covers for you, it's amazing. It makes you really look good. Like Lauren says, you always come up smelling like roses. You think only you, Lord, me too. You know, I smell like roses too, like that. But my point is, God has entrusted you with a walk, a journey, okay? Take care of it. That's your responsibility. I know sometimes it's hard, you know, you go from one fellowship to the other. It is watered down. And so you'll get confused too. But if you're focused on one thing, and, you know, like when I go to Lawrence, I ask for advice or whatever, he will tell me. However, the first thing he tells me, Ethel, go to God. I knew he was going to say that. You have full access, or better yet, direct access, right? It's direct. That's why it's such a personal relationship with him, because you can just go right to your father. I mean, yeah, your ministers, leaders are there to help you, encourage you, your brothers and sisters in Christ. But ultimately, the answer is look to God, go to God. And I have done that many times over. And here's what I learned. As long as you put God's business first, he'll make sure he'll take care of you. Okay? But today, oh my God, I have so many things that I'm doing right now type thing. But it's just a task. But, you know, like yesterday I said, oh, I almost forgot to send the link. I fell asleep. I woke up at 10. Look at you guys' time when I sent the invite for the Zoom today. It's like 10 o'clock and I'm like, oh my God, I better send. And then, you know, once I got through it, thank you, Father, you know, and thank you that I have the means. I can subscribe for a year. That's great. But it's a platform. Of course, I want to keep it going. And so anyway, my point is going back to our fundamentals. The honoring the first fruits, that's really huge. And, you know, and the thing about it is when you give two, it's your heart. When you give it cheerfully and ask God how much you're going to give. You know, Father, what do you want me? How much do you want me to give like that? And I tell you, what comes back, man? Like I said, God is in the business of multiplication. He always multiplies and adds, never divides or subtract. What a good math with God. He just keeps multiplying. The more you give, yeah, the more you receive. But the heart of his is, be cheerful, you know. God loves a cheerful giver. And God has blessed you, so you become a blessor. You bless others. I mean, yeah, financially too, but other things you can bless people with. But that's our, the whole idea is we are his mouthpieces, right? That's our job. And stop right there. Because part two, God, it's God's job. It's his gig. Let him be. You know, he's the heart changer and the heart nudger. And amazing what the results that you see. So do you want results? Do you want results? This is it. You know, you just begin. Pray for those laborers. Yeah, honor that first fruit. As long as you do, like I said, as long as you do God's business, man, you're a VIP. Yeah. I see it. I mean, I might not have the attire, but I have the position, right? And you know what? People will see. You don't have to say anything to validate yourself. It just does. People will see you, and you are that witness. You're shining that light. Like at work, they'll say, oh, this one guy at work, he works for Costco, but we all kind of work together because we're in the same warehouse. He'll go, oh, hey, you guys, if you want a happy person, go to her station. He's talking about me. I love it. And I said, oh, thank you, Larry. That's his name. And I'm glad to be cheerful because that's what I want to be. Because you know why? That's my identification in Christ. And don't let the devil do identity theft. But yeah, that's your identification. It's just smile is the thing. You just smile and that says it all. Because from the smile, the light just illuminates. And people will say, oh, there's something about you. And I'm going, oh, it's that Christ in me. So always be happy, be joyful, be at peace. Don't go into pieces, like I said. Be at peace. Because that's God's leading you. And just keep going and looking to God. You have full access. And man, we are blessed. We're blessed people, okay? So that's my sharing. And so
I would like to. I'm sorry, go ahead. I want to add something. I want to add something. I didn't think of it before when we were talking. But it, I caught, It taught me, God reminded me when I was talking about, you know, it's just a coma. I've been in a coma.
Oh.
And this is what I was told. The doctor came in.
Why don't you go meet Edgar and explain that to him? Wake up, Edgar. Give him a tutorial.
This is what I was told happened. There were two believers in the hospital room. I was in a coma. I had been in for 3 days. And the doctor came in and told the believers that if I needed to do anything, or they could do anything, they needed to do it now because I was going to die. And I was told, I sat straight up and I said, no, I'm not. And then I laid back down and went back into the coma. And the next day, I woke up.
Mm.
So isn't that something? That's, you know, I was told that and it was like unbelievable. Mm. But I thought of that after I had said that. So God brought it to my remembrance that, you know, it's just a coma. But, you know, God knew I wasn't going to die. And I told him, nope.
He's not done with you yet.
He's not done.
I want to add something really quick. It's funny. There's a believer from Texas. Oh, my God. Ken, his name. So then, you know, he already made his will and all of that. And they declared that he's deaf, but he got ministered to, so he got his hearing back. One day they were at a family party. They were talking shit about Ken. You know what he said? He didn't say that he already got healed, right? I'm taking you off my will. You guys are all... Look at you, you're talking behind my back. They didn't know I can hear. I have the power. So I am going to revise my will, and I'm not putting all of your names there. You only talk bad shit about me, you know? So anyway, it's funny. Funny, too, the way God sometimes, the way he displays himself, right? He has a sense of humor, just like your coma situation. But, you know, the thing of that, too, is you're believing, too. Your faith is and confession is really huge, Glenna. So proud of you, sweetheart. So, anyway, since you talked last, I was going to have you introduce Lawrence.
It is my pleasure to introduce Lauren, who is a wonderful man of God who speaks the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God.
Yeah.
And he's helped me.
Oh, thank that's you. Sweet.
Okay, well, thank God. Thank God that you asked me to come on F4. And so thanks to God and thanks to you for inviting me. And thank you for you guys also that are going to listen to me now as well. And really, it's my voice, but it's God's words. That's what I believe for. I want to speak for him, and I want him to give me those wonderful words that will build faith, because that's what it's all about. And it's very simple. It's not complicated. You know, next time I F4 would come to my mind as we was talking, you know, you get that phone. If you're inspired by God, get him to take that phone to Edgar's ear and you tell him to wake up in the name of Jesus Christ, because that's what they do in India. That's what they do in Nepal. And if you're inspired by God to do that, then you can do that because all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God, and the just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then we give the testimonies afterwards, you know. And so we expect, God wants us to expect, and have no doubts. Now, if that's a practice, what we do, right? I know it's easy said and done when we're beginning and when we're looking to God, but that's what it's about. There was no doubts in the mind of Jesus Christ. And he was always building people's faith. Oh, you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? You know, where's your faith? And he would upbraid these people for having little faith in God. And really, when it comes to God, who is Jehovah, who will be to you what you need him to be, we should have great confidence. And in fact, we can ask God to do things for us. And I was practicing that today, and there was one thing I particularly asked God to do for me, using another believer and the Pacific believer, and he done it for me. Out of the blue, there was no way that this believer would have done this. But when you go to God, I say to God things like, if this person is walking by your spirit, now you get this person to do this. and I want to see it. And, you know, God does things like this for me. And if he can do it for me, I'm sure he can do it for anyone. I'm sure he'll do it for you. God is not a respecter of persons. I'm no better than anyone else. But I do have faith. I do have great faith. And I can say that from my mouth with full confidence. The just shall live by faith. Well, I've been doing that since 2005, when I gave up my circular job with no money in the bank, with debts. God told me to go full time. That's what I done. It was the most craziest situation to look at. But the just shall live by faith. No, God will get us to do things that are not ordinary. Everything with God is extraordinary. That is going to highlight and demonstrate to us that he really is an amazing God. He is a loving heavenly Father, and he's so for you that he will do the things for you. And he wants us to come out of the traditions of man, which has caused us. And when I say traditions of man, I'm on about traditions of Christianity. Some of the things that we've been taught has kept us in a bondage in the mind, because, well, you know, the minister said it and it was said on television. And the thing is, God wants to teach you. He wants to personally teach you how to really have faith with him. And faith comes from God in the first place. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words, or the words from God. So when we're on this type of fellowship now, we want to have our ears open. Because we may think, oh, it's just Ethel speaking, but actually, God is giving Ethel great words. And then when Jim is speaking, God is giving Jim great words. He's giving Glenna great words. He's giving me great words. We've got to have confidence in God's ability in us. So, you know, I don't have a lot of confidence in my own ability, my own knowledge, my own wisdom. I really don't, because I never really learned a lot, apart from all the bad stuff in the senses realm. All right, but with God, I know I can do the same as anybody else that's looking and believing God. And, you know, Jesus was always encouraging his people to have faith. He was showing them how to have faith. He demonstrated the power of God and how he done it. And it was all done by faith. And it was all done at the direction and inspiration of God. So it's not done by our education of what we know about Elijah, or what we know about David, or what we know about Solomon. We can learn from their lives and how they walked with God. That's what the scriptures have recorded it for us to see. Oh, these David really walked with God. Now, look at David. Look how many challenges he had. Look how many times he blew it with God. I mean, he committed adultery, and he murdered the woman's husband. He was forgiven because of the heart. Because he was just moving carnally. He was moving with the five senses. But God knew his heart. In fact, God says that David was a man after God's own heart. And he had many challenges. He had many things go on. So, you know, God knows the inward part. And our inward part is more important than the outward part. Because I can tell you now, whatever you got on your inside is the results of what you manifest on the outside. Whatever's going on in your life now, if you look at your results, that's from what you believe. That is from what you was in your heart. What you was governed by at the time of sowing to the point of where you've reaped what you've got. Because as a man sows, so shall he reap. So if you're in a good situation, it's because of what you've sown. If you're in a bad situation, it's because of what you've sown, all the decisions that you've made. Maybe you've had it a bit tough as well, but it's going to be in a cause and effect from something in the past, right? But the great thing is that God is a God of light. And God is a God of deliverance. Now, not everything that we do is caught or going on in life is caused by us. There, like I said, there is a God of this world, and he's called Satan, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, look, I've come that you can have life and have it more abundantly. The believers should be living an abundant life, an abundance of understanding, an abundance of wisdom, an abundance of joy, an abundance of resources, an abundance of plenty. See, we shouldn't be praying for finances. You know what we should be praying for? Revelation. Because God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. He shows you how to get what you need. First of all, he's shown us from the scriptures how to honor him with our money. That's how you prosper. If you want to prosper financially, that is the beginning part of prospering. And so you give, we do something completely against the senses. We're actually giving away rather than accumulating, because we're trusting God. We're saying, okay, God, here's the first fruits of all my increase that you've blessed me with. And just remember, what you're giving to God is what he's blessed you with anyway. You're not giving God something that he doesn't already have. He's given it to you so you can give, because he wants you to take some action. He wants you to step out in faith. And, you know, people are so used to giving the smaller part. Like when I was a young boy, I can remember going to Roman Catholic Church. And my friend said, well, you've got to give something if you're going to take the communion. And so my mum said, yeah, just take this five pennies in one coin. Give that. People just give the whatever, you know. And a majority of the people would do that. They give the smallest portion. They don't want to give nothing away. You know, but that's not how someone prospers. It's the generosity of the heart that you prosper. And but when we begin to understand about this amount and the heart we give it with and all that, then we can really do it with faith. So the point of me mentioning that was not about the money and not about you getting money. It's about using your faith. Like when we sow, we've really got to believe what we're doing. I'm going to honor God and God's going to multiply this seed sown. Now, we might know it on the surface of our head, but is it in the depths of your heart? Have you let that word sink into your heart on this area of giving and sowing and reaping? Do you really, truly believe it? Do you truly believe your words when you say, this person's going to be healed, this person's going to recover? Because if you believe, all things are possible to you that believe. So we've got to get our faith with God to the point that when we speak, it happens. Because that's what Jesus done, and that's what we can do. Because we do believe, but we have unbelief. What's that guy says? You know, help thou my unbelief. I do believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. Now, there might just be some little doubts in your mind when it comes to honoring God. There might be some little doubts in your mind when it comes to speaking in tongues. There might be some doubt when it comes to connections and where you're connected. You've got to eliminate that doubt. And the way you do that is by stepping out with God. You don't know. Is this really God? The only way I'm going to know is put it to the test. Let's see if this works. Let's do this with my heart. Father, I know it says it in your scriptures. I know the church has said this. This pastor has said that. That teacher has said this about giving. But I do know what your scriptures are. I'm going to base it upon that. And anyone that's teaching that, I'll do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to separate the money from my wallet or my purse or my bank account. And I'm going to really honor you with my first. Everything that I've got coming in, first fruits from all that I've got coming in, you might have many avenues of receiving money, or you might have one avenue. You might just have one wage or one pension or whatever. But God says the first fruits from that, off the top. That's what God wants you to give. And you go to God, what do you want me to give? Or like God said to me, Lawrence, what do you want to give? He asked me, what do you want to give? He put the ball in my court. And I said, Lord, you know I want to give big, but I just don't have it. And because God was working with my faith at the time, this was in 2019, November the 24th, he asked me that. And I said, this is what I would truly like to give this. But I just don't have the money. God says, write it down. So I wrote it down. And God showed me Habakkuk 2:2. Write the vision, make it plain, that he that readeth may run to do it. A couple of days later, how much would you like to have left over at the end of the month, Florence? So I got with Kim, how much do we spend out and what will we have at the end of the month? It was about £50 we had left over. And I wrote the amount I wanted to have left over at the end of the month, which was a very big, big amount, right, compared to this £50. And the first month that come in, I got enough money. Not only could I give what I wrote down, but I could double it. So that's what I did. Because I wanted to give this amount, but I could double that amount. So I gave the double the amount because I'm trusting God. I'm going to practice trusting God. At the end of that month, not only could I give that again, but I had what I asked for, what I wanted left over at the end of the month. And I've never had less since that time. And that was going back in November the 24th, 2019. And then I went to India and then I got this understanding about what I'm encouraging now about, you know, get people to speak in tongues, get people to speak by the Spirit, get people to honor God with their substance, the connections and connecting where God has you to connect, not everywhere else. You're not going to grow. You're going to get confused. You can't serve two masters. You're going to hold to the one and despise the other. Get focused. That's the truth of all of this. People don't do it. And that's why people are not getting the full results like they see in India. These guys are focused, but they're focused where they are. They're not, you know, a lot of people have to depend upon other believers to get reassurance that they're all right. And, oh, they might give to me if I, you know, no one might give to me if I don't have people around me. No, God says he's going to take care of us. You know, when I went full time, I didn't know no one in the USA and I didn't know no one in London. I didn't know no one in Europe. And I'm going full time. I'm giving up my job. Did you know that? I had to go full time first. Then the doors opened in Europe, in USA, in India and other places. God had to work with me in that time. He was saying, Lawrence, if you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. You just focus on doing my work. I'll focus on doing your work. This is how God works, guys. I can promise you he doesn't work any other way to that. When God is first, you won't have to worry about nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, you might have to wait, but God's timing's perfect, like someone said earlier on. He's never late. And all you've got to do is keep in faith in the meantime. So some people don't like hearing me share because I'm pretty direct. And I think that we need to be at times so that people can see what is required. You've got to count the cost. You want to move in the ministry with God? Count the cost. You might not have nothing to count, but that's fine because God can give to you like he did for me. I had debt when I went full time. I had nothing to offer. So everything I got is what come from God. He blessed me and got me out of everything. And then he set me upon high. He made my feet like hinds feet and set me upon my high places. I can say that. He's ordered my steps in his words and he's not letting any sin have dominion over me. I may screw up, I may make mistakes, but nothing's going to have a dominion over me. I am the son of the living God, filled with the Spirit of God. I've been counted worthy being put into this ministry to do what I'm doing. And I got full confidence in that. And I know that I've been called to do it too. I know I've been called to encourage and to bless and to share. Some, you might view someone else a lot higher than me. Well, I'm still on that level of the person you view higher than me. Because God says I'm that. And I believe that. So I can have a little bit of strength here. And I can have a little bit of, not ego, because I know that I can't do nothing without God. That's the thing. This is not done in my strength. In Zechariah 4, 6 and 7, it says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's by the Spirit of the living God. See yourself bigger. See yourself influencing the people around you. See your words, that what you say without being conscious of it, but being inspired, are going to have an effect into people's lives. They're going to inspire faith into other people. When you're walking by the Spirit and speaking by the Spirit, your words will inspire faith into other people to do. Because a lot of people know, but a lot of people don't do. And this is where half the problem is for a lot of people. There's a lot of wonderful believers. And we know them. And there's wonderful believers we don't know. And they're stuck. They're carrying on with the things of God and they think that's how it is, but they're not. It's not how it is. People are stuck. can come unstuck if they want, in a good way, not in a bad way. Like, they can come unstuck from the traditions and their own understanding and come to God's understanding and be led by the Spirit of God. Because, you know, if you're not being extraordinary, you're not walking with God. And you can be extraordinary. You are extraordinary. You need to be extraordinary. You need to take those steps of faith. Step out as God's showing you. Take the risk. You might think, well, no, that's just me. That's a big deal to do. If it's in your heart, go and do it. You don't know, do you, if it's God or not until you go and do it. Have some balls. Don't stay where you are, because you'll stay where you are. You've got to move, not just in your mind and in your words, but with your physical body. Get up off the sofa. Get outside. Start walking. Start doing something different. If you're going to sit there, it's just like the two guys when there was a big famine going on in Elijah's day. You know, they said, they had the sense, why sit here till we die? No, they got up and they moved out. And that's what we got to do. Get up and move out. How do you think the word moves in India? These guys are not just praying. They're moving through every open door. They're taking every nudge. They're moving at every nudge as God shows them. They're not procrastinating, sitting there, oh, God, send me the laborers. Oh, God, send me the laborers. Oh, God, send me the laborers. I'm praying what Sandgate said. You know, he's encouraged me to pray for laborers. Or my leaders encouraged me to pray for laborers. Get moving. You know, Sharma, you know, he got up and said, without knowing what he wanted to do for God, right, at one of the leaders' meetings many years ago. But he moved. He had a connection in the area of where he wanted to move, and he moved upon it. And he was a new believer. And look at the whole of Calcutta is moving because of that one man. He took the action. You got to move. Pick up the phone. Get speaking. Get ministering as you're led by God. God's got work there. It's there. We're just not doing anything at all. There will be things that God's nudging you to do. Now pay attention and do those little things that you don't think mean anything. Because I've started to do that and things are happening. It's like you've got to take those little steps of faith. You think, nah, that's just me thinking that. Nah, I'm not going to say that. If you'd have said it, it would have blown someone away. It would have got someone's attention to God. And I've been experiencing that too. But I've been speaking. I've been saying those things which will make me look stupid with people that don't even know me. There you go. So I do a lot of this going to the gym now. And I'm bold. And I'm bold. No, God's given me, I never used to be like that. But God's given me great boldness and to tell people as it is as well. I don't take any shit off anyone either. Even the Muslims that are there. Tell them to be quiet. They try and tell me about Jesus Christ. So you be quiet. You don't know nothing about him. I do. I'll tell you. I'm a little bit like that with them because I can see the arrogance, you know. And they shut up as well because I got authority and people know the authority. People will recognize it. Let's be bold. We can do it in love as well. And as God energizes, you know, Sangi's very bold. He's a very bold person as well. I've been with him and been people saying something. And he's in their face in a good way, but he's like very direct, very bold, very clear because it's the Holy Spirit energizing them. Same with me. I'm the same. Kim's the same. We don't suffer fools gladly. We say what needs to be said because it's the right way. Jesus used to say what needed to be said. Even the disciples used to say what they thought needed to be said, and it was wrong half the time, but they spoke up, right? So don't, you know, you're not inferior to anyone, guys. Seriously. We're not inferior to anyone. So what I'm saying is, like, how we see the word move in India and Nepal, we can see it in our own areas. I'm not settling for any less. I will see it. And I'm beginning to see it anyway. God's going to provide everything. He'll provide everything. He'll get rid of the people that are hindering me. He'll get them out of my life. I don't have to do nothing. He'll get rid of the backbiters and the ones that stick in the middle finger up behind the back. He'll get rid of them. He'll just put them out my way. And they'll see me flourish. And they'll see me grow. And they'll become ashamed. And then repent and come back and want to do what we're doing. Because you've got to make that stand. Because we're not here to impress anyone else. We're here to serve God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to please them. Let's be bold. And you're not inferior to anyone. We show respect where it's due. If Sandgate's here, I'd be quiet. I'd be giving him lots of respect, you know. But if I need to say something, I'll say something too. Because I got the Spirit of God in me. But I know my place. and I know when to speak, when not to speak, you know, where to show respect, where to show constraint, where to be bold, where to step out a little bit. I know how to do it, and I'm doing it now. Whereas before, you know, that, like if you met Tom and Lorian, they know me from many years ago. I was very quiet. I wasn't as bold as I am. I wouldn't say boo to a bloody goose. But listen, guys, we haven't got long on this earth, right? None of us have. Don't care. Even if you're 20, you still haven't got long on the earth. We want to have an impact. And I think, you know, maybe all these years it's taken this time to build up this confidence and wisdom that God's given me, because it's definitely from God. And I will speak as I want to speak. No man will forbid me. No, not anyone. Now, if I'm wrong, I'll always repent. Oh, shit, sorry, I was wrong there. So, never mind. Let's move on. Not a problem. Like I said, look at David. Look at the things that he done. And they were bang out of order, weren't they, right? But he still was God's man. He was still protected and blessed. Yeah, he had some consequences, because what he sowed, he reaped, right? But God still lessened the impact of that. You can still move forward with God no matter what. God is with you. God is for you. God loves you. And you can have an abundance. You know, it's like I said, don't pray for money. Pray for the wisdom of how to do it. Right, God? I know part of that is honoring you. But there might be something you can do. He wants you to do. Go and do it. Whatever it is. It might. I'm not saying work. Or it might be work. That's between you and God. He'll show you what to do. You don't have to worry about, listen, stop worrying about money. It won't come to you if you worry about it. You've got to get rid of the fear of it. And it's not going to come to you, because it won't. You've got to have full faith, full confidence. Just like when we're ministering to someone. Yeah, Edgar's healed in the name of Jesus. It's done. He's going to be all right. He's fine. Right now, he's fine. You've got to have that. Like, for me, that's where the faith is on it. It's done. Now, I know it could be harder for the family member because it's emotional. I understand that. I really do. And this is where we come in to end up, you know, to build the faith. We can't be, we better go carefully because it's a... No, let's build the faith. Yes, he's fine. What would Jesus do? Tabitha, she's asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. He put them all out of the way, and he took her by the hand, and man, she got up, and she ministered, didn't she? I think she's a young girl. She's just asleep. Are you mad? We know she's dead. She's asleep. Lazarus, he's asleep. Where's the faith? It's simple. It's down to the faith, guys. Very simple faith. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing the words from God. And God wants you to be confident. He really does. No more worries. No more fears. No more doubts. Command them away. I called light into my situation. I called light over these negative feelings and emotions. I called God's light and deliverance. Father, you clear the way. You send the angels before my path and clear it out. Clear out those devil spirits. Clear out those blockages. Clear out the poverty. Clear out the negatives. Now, we've got to get rid of a negative mindset, a poverty mindset. But it's still there. I can hear it. No, poverty mindset is very... I had someone send me an audio today. And I'm thinking, what is that? That's a poverty mindset. So I'm going to have to speak to that person. You know, they've got a good heart, but it's totally opposite to what God says. You know, and I'm thinking, are you listening or what? God was shocked. Right doctrine corrects wrong doctrine, right? So that's, we just have to encourage that person in the right way. But the point is, you know, check your own thoughts out. Ask yourself, am I thinking poverty mindset? Or am I thinking a prosperous mindset? Am I thinking defeat and victory? Or am I thinking complete victory? There's no in between. There's no mix and matching. It's either one or the other. It's either defeat or victory. We want victory. It's either poverty or prosperity. No, we want prosperity. We got prosperity. I am prosperous. It starts on the inside. Start building your heart up. That's where faith comes from. Build your heart with the right words. on these things. Listen to some sharings that have been done about it already on honoring God and on faith and on ministering. You know, sometimes I find myself, you know, I have in the past found myself going back to how to heal the sick and cast out devils. There's some great stuff there that builds faith and energy, you know, in the areas of healing and ministering and casting out devils, even though we can just do it. Sometimes the faith dips, you know, like if the petrol dips, you fill it up again, didn't you? So it's the same with, you know, just rehearsing again. Go and listen to a teacher that blessed you, that you know is going to build you up. Go and listen to it. If you've got, if your faith is low and there's a teaching that you know is going to get you high, get on it. Even if you've listened to it a billion times, do whatever's necessary to have that great faith, because you've got it in you. You've got the faith of Christ in you. And so, you know, it's just getting rid of all the distractions, emotions and negatives and all the circumstances. It's just getting that out and getting focused with God, and then get to the real reality, whether you feel stupid about it or not. Because when you look at the circumstances, it's all saying different. We've got to believe what God says above the circumstances, above the emotions, above the fear, worries and doubts. We've got to start saying what we want, not what we see. We've got to use those heavenly words. We've got to use our authority. We've got to speak like it's done. So that's what I was going to share. So God bless your hearts.